Okay, this is my last general question. I was talking to a federal Liberal politician the other week who has some involvement with Indigenous policy, and he made the comment that the Indigenous community at the Rock is one of the most catastrophic in the country. It's just got enormous social problems, and the contrast with, say, Kakadu are very stark. Now, I don't want to bang on too much about corporate social responsibility, but given that you have on your doorstep there a massive social issue, what is the company's approach to dealing with that, even though I appreciate it's not your primary responsibility, but it is a sacred asset there and there is a massive social problem. What sort of programs are you running to deal with that?
Yeah, thanks for the question. No, we actually do see it as our responsibility and a very important one. It's one that we've been focused on throughout the ownership of Ayers Rock Resort since 1997. There are a number of initiatives. You're right in outlining the situation at the Mutujulu community, which is the community between the resort and the Rock. It is very desperate stuff, and we have undertaken a number of initiatives to try and assist in that regard. Some of those initiatives include the introduction of the Mutujulu Foundation, which is a foundation which we've sponsored, which has raised a significant amount of money, which is being applied to the education and employment of the Indigenous community around Ayers Rock Resort. The second one has been employment programs within the Rock for Indigenous people. And a third one you might have caught up on in recent times is we have been significant advocates of the rollout of Opal Fuel to Indigenous communities right throughout the country. We do see it as part of our responsibility and one we take very seriously, and we'll continue to apply resources to it.
The board has a policy, fully endorses everything that Nick said. If we had a magic wand, we would most certainly wave it in that community and all Indigenous communities that suffer, many of them, from similar problems. The challenges are enormous. The goodwill is enormous. And the solutions are just tough. The simple things such that have been tried, swimming pools. Shane Gould, the famous Olympian, was in our office just a month ago. She and her partner have been working in Indigenous communities as part of a government program in WA based on No School, No Pool. And it's run by the communities themselves, but where people such as, say, GPT might provide assistance in that regard for coaching and so on. And that has, by virtue of the nature of a swimming pool, there are health benefits, there are sporting benefits, they're practical things. We believe the way forward is trying many of these things, and we have to be careful because there are lots of people with good intentions who want to come in or fly in and fly out, and usually that doesn't work, and those communities themselves have become deeply suspicious and cynical of that. But you certainly have touched a point on which we're very sensitive to and very aware of. As far as the staff of GPT is concerned, getting back to your earlier point, GPT, as you have heard me speak before, tries to stand for something where people feel it is a workplace that they want to come to and be part of, where it is inclusive, and where there is a lot of excellence, a lot of innovation, and a lot of respect. We believed in choice, and the people that came that would have to choose between GPT and Lend Lease but simply that there ought to be a level playing field and that they would have choice. Now, most of them came to GPT and exercised that choice. There was no pressure applied. There was a level playing field, and I think that obviously many of them have worked on GPT business for a long time, and we do share a common heritage and the founding story with Lendlease. We respect that, but there are different paths now, and we are each on our own particular path.